Malox.
August 2001. We turned a corner by the firehouse into a small square lined on three sides by trendy restaurants, which called themselves bistros. Canton? Dan asked, his arm hanging out the window, but in deference to me, no cigarette between his angular tan fingers. That's what I'm told, I said. It was my fourth weekend of house hunting in Baltimore. I had finally given in to Dan's suggestion that Luke and I move, although Luke had yet to even call a realtor. And Dan had advised me to check out wherever the, quote, young people were living right now. Flicker than a hound's penis, that real estate man of yours, he said. What on earth does that mean, I said. It means that when I was growing up, this was Highland Town, and you, my boy, would not want to be caught down here if you weren't poor, Irish, and white. He pointed at a California-style pizza restaurant where a man in a tuxedo and a woman in an evening gown were walking out. My mother rented that very house for $15 a month. He told me that his mother had been a prostitute, and that he'd had to support his two sisters with whatever he could earn as a laborer at the Bromo Seltzer factory. You really grew up right there, I asked, examining the house for clues to his life. It was four stories high and adorned with green shuttered windows. Workmen wearing protective jumpsuits were removing the dull gray formstone that covered most houses in this part of Baltimore. Officially intended to beautify brick buildings in the 1940s, it was the most depressing architectural feature I'd ever seen. It made the gray sky, road, and houses blend into one patina of economic weariness. The real estate agent told me that dissolving the lumpy fake stone to expose the brick beneath cost a couple of $1,000s per floor. Did you have formstone? Formstone? When I was growing up, you would have given your grandmother for formstone. He paused to pick a bit of lunch out of his teeth with a fingernail. We lived in a house until they figured out my mother wasn't paying rent and then moved on to the next one. You know, I can't even remember how many houses we lived in. I turned onto a leafy street where half the row houses had been renovated with bright red or purple doors, and half still had battered screen ones with old women in padded housecoats and curlers sitting on the stoops or bent over tiny gardens with three blades of grass and a cement Madonna. It was one of the nicer streets. Most had no trees at all. You'll be happier here, he said, squinting at the buildings. You'll make some new friends, get out of that little hole you're living up there in New York. It'll be good for you. Left or right, I asked. You know, I don't remember, my boy. It's been too long since I've been down here. Look at that! St. Anne's. I went to school right there. He said, sounding like anyone, seeing his old school for the first time in decades. I turned right at the bar on the corner. Every corner in Baltimore has a bar on it, or a liquor store, or both. We'd have done anything to get out of here when I was growing up, and now you're going to spend a fortune moving in. Times change, my boy. Times change. He pulled a cigarette out of his pocket and lit it. Where are we going now? There was a condo on the pier in the harbor I wanted to show you. But let's see it. It's too expensive. Next traffic light featured two bars, a liquor store, and an empty storefront that advertised, quote, imported Mexican items. I rolled down my window, but that caused the smoke to be sucked in front of me instead of bringing in more air. What are you worried about, my boy? You're a wealthy man. Every year from now on, you'll be making more and more money. $500,000 for a condo? You think that's reasonable in Highland Town? What I think is, you need to do whatever makes you happy. He flicked his cigarette towards the window, but the wind blew it backwards. He fumbled between his cowboy boots to get at the still smoldering butt. And there's the church where they buried my father, he said after retrieving it. Did I ever tell you what I felt when I saw him? Nothing, I said. That's right, nothing. He was a drunk, and when he managed to find his way home, he'd beat my mother. And seeing him lying in that casket, I felt absolutely nothing. Is this the way back to your house, or is it left, or straight ahead? I'm sorry, David. How is your father? He lit another cigarette. I turned the fan to full speed. Drunk. Don't be so hard on him, my boy. He did all the right things by you growing up, didn't he? This is Baltimore Street, I said. Is that right? Baltimore Street? Look for a sign with a naked neon girl. There were lots of signs with naked girls. Some neon, some painted, and many fronted by Middle Eastern men handing out flyers. That's where I used to play guitar with my uncle's band, And, my boy, the ladies took quite a shine to me. Turn up there and we'll be at the tower. The bottom two-thirds of the Bromo Seltzer Tower were a plain office building, finished in concrete and without any ornamentation. The top two-thirds featured a Big Ben-style clock topped with castle battlements, and under a giant lamp ringed with more battlements. It looked like a lighthouse designed for medieval times. I used to have sex in the stairway at night in that building. What? I was a young man back then, athletic. I almost got recruited out of college to the Phillies farm team. Did I ever tell you that? Without turning my head, I could see the outline of his thin legs and the balls of his kneecaps, etched in yellow khakis. Loyola, my boy, the Jesuits. They can't teach you, no one can, because they've smacked you so hard your brains have fallen out. He carefully let the second cigarette drop outside the car. He made fizzies there. You know what a fizzy is? Not a clue. Looks like a Bromo Seltzer, but makes your glass of water into a soda pop. 95 South to your house, right? Very, very unpopular, he said, looking in the rearview mirror at the receding Bromo beacon. Tasted like dirt.